Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week I bring you exciting new guests on the cutting edge of research into various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal. I hope you enjoyed our show last week when our guest was Paul Shishis. He talked about his really extensive UFO encounters, which are ongoing. So pretty interesting. He's up in Canada. Apparently there's a lot of activity going on there now. But it's pretty exciting. Tonight we're moving in a little bit of a different direction. I don't know if this subject actually qualifies as paranormal, but it certainly does qualify as controversial and profound and important. It might fall more under the subject of conspiracies, which somehow seems to come hand in hand with a lot of this UFO stuff. And certainly it is related to the UFO phenomena, or at least some people claim that it is. Our guest tonight is Stephen Jacobson, and we're going to be talking about mind control, specifically mind control in America, a very important subject which I think a lot of people are overlooking and which apparently has a very pervasive effect on society and the individual, for that matter. Our guest, Stephen Jacobson, is a graduate of Boston University School of Communications. He worked in the film industry for 13 years, producing sponsored films, and was a production manager and editor for a New York City documentary film company. He did contract work for a Washington, D.C. Film Institute, and has recut features for United States theatrical distribution, television syndication, and cable. And it was through his experiences as a production manager and editor that he became interested in mind control and the use of hypnotic programming in particular in the mass media, which actually led to the development of his audio series, which is titled, appropriately, Mind Control in America. He has also produced another tape called Wake Up America. So he's got some very important things to say, and I hope you all are as interested in the subject as I am, because I think it's very, very important. And Stephen, I want to thank you very much for coming onto the show.
Well, it's my pleasure, Preston, and thank you for having me to talk about a subject that affects each and every one of us, whether we are consciously aware of it or not. It's a very important topic that affects everyone, and the more people come into awareness about the nature of the issue in time, we'll be able to shake off this manipulation that we are all under. I'd go as far as to say that we are living in a virtual reality where few people realize the extent to which we are manipulated and controlled by unseen forces. In fact, I'd go as far as to say that our society is the most manipulated and controlled society in history because of the programming and conditioning we all undergo through the mass media and public education. Now, I'm sure many of your listeners are aware of George Orwell's prophetic book, 1984, where he warned that people were in danger of losing their freedom of mind without being aware of it while it was happening because of psychological, emotional, and intellectual manipulation. That's mind control. The world of George Orwell's 1984 arrived unnoticed in America because people were conditioned not to notice. People don't pay attention, conscious attention, to the things that affect them subconsciously, frankly, because they don't know what to look for until someone comes around and points those things out to them. And that's what we're going to do tonight, start pointing out some of these things that are affecting us without our being consciously aware of it.
Well, I'm really glad you are. You know, I've always been interested in this subject. I remember back in college, I decided to write my term paper on subliminal advertising. And lo and behold, I could get almost no information on it. I found one book. There was really very little written on it. And yet, it seems to be pretty popular.
There's a lot of information now available on it. Some of the best information doesn't make it into the general public. The research that's been done by various governmental agencies and by the advertising industry. The use of subliminals, for people who may not be familiar with it, subliminal perception is the process whereby we receive and respond to visual and sound information without being aware of it. The message can be in the form of printed words or pictures, or voices presented either so rapidly or faintly that we're not consciously aware of having seen or heard anything, and yet it does affect us. This first came to public attention back in the 1950s, around 1957. The book The Hidden Persuaders by Vance Packard revealed for the first time American industry was investigating the use of subliminal technology to influence people to buy their products. And it caused a public outcry because rightly so, because people were concerned that this was an invasion of the privacy of their mind, that here was something that was being investigated and used to influence people without their conscious awareness. There was a famous experiment in a New Jersey movie theater. The message, hungry, eat popcorn.
I remember this, yeah.
Right, and drink Coca-Cola, were flashed on the screen at 1/3,000th of a second, every 5 seconds during the movie, and sales increased for both popcorn and Coca-Cola as a result.
Yeah, like dramatic increase, I remember.
Pardon?
I remember it was like a dramatic increase, like 50% or 100%, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it was. And so, and at that time, people were so concerned that there was talk in Congress and various state legislatures about passing laws to protect the public from this. And after the outcry died, nothing was done. People are under the impression that there are laws to protect the public from this. There are not. There may be regulations on the FCC, but the problem is, how do you police it? You can't, because this is something that you'd either have to inspect every single frame of film and every image on video to try to detect these things, and it's just not practical. But the problem has gotten worse, where we are constantly assaulted by subliminal messages that we are not consciously aware of. And they influence us nonetheless. I'll give you an example, something that I would think that the majority of a listening audience can relate to. And in the form of a question, have you ever bought something and then later on wondered why you bought it?
Who hasn't? Right.
Okay. Or take it to another example, a little different. Have you ever done something that said something and then later wondered, well, why did I do that or why did I say that?
Oh, no.
What's happening here is that the goal for a propagandist or an advertiser, their primary objective is to build in us a conditioned response where we respond favorably to their message automatically without thinking. And so either for us to have a preference for a particular product or a preference for a particular idea. Now there's a whole, there's a science behind this, there are basic principles involved, and the substance of my work when I got involved in this to investigate this was to, and eventually saw that I needed to put together summary information and make it available to people so that they would have the information with which to be able to recognize these things. The most effective way to protect yourself from subconscious manipulation is by being aware of how it works. And once you're aware of it, then you can recognize these techniques when they're being used. And that was the purpose for my investigation. Not only did I want to know, but to use the training and experience over the years to produce summary information so that other people could benefit from it as well. Now, when I first got involved in this research, I was working in the media, as you mentioned. I was a film editor. I worked in other capacities in film, but primarily as an editor. And working as an editor, it was easier to see how simple it is to change the meaning of an event or change the meaning of what someone says through simple editing, by cutting something out, by inserting a reaction shot. Silently commenting on what is being said or what is being shown. So I knew, was very well aware of how plastic and moldable the media is. But I didn't fully appreciate the extent to which we are all manipulated by the media, including those people who work in it, until I was given the results of private research investigating programming and deprogramming. And this was back in 1980, so about 28 years ago. My father was trained as a hypnotist. He worked, he was a hypnotherapist and counselor, did research with medical profession for over 20 years. And he developed an audio that doctors at one time wrote prescriptions for their patients to have the audio, to use it as an aid in the treatment of different health problems, physical problems, emotional problems, psychological problems. It's a relaxation conditioning audio. Most health problems, stress, anxiety, tension, is the foundation of most health problems. And to give you an example, how the audio was used, people who had respiratory ailments, emphysema, or someone who had only limited breathing capacity because of only having one lung. The audio aided the listener, guided them to relearn something that comes natural to us as children, that is how to be comfortable and relaxed. We're not using a full breathing capacity, capability. Most people, their breathing is very shallow. And so they're not oxygenating the blood properly. And because of that, not enough oxygen is getting through the system and getting to the brain. And no wonder people can't think clearly, because that's one reason why people can't think clearly. So this was something that was helping people slow down their breathing pattern to find their comfort level, increase their comfort level so that they could be more comfortable and relaxed. And it's a training audio to aid people in that process. And the verbal content is designed to help dissolve and dissipate negative programming and replace it with a positive health-based program. At any rate, he turned over his research to me and the audio. And after studying that, listening to the audio, studying that, I saw the implications as far as my work in media was concerned. And it led to my leaving New York City, where I was working at the time, to investigate, and leaving the career I was pursuing, to investigate this whole issue of mind control and mental manipulation. And at the same time, while I was doing that, my father's people were always giving him information. He had different cases. He had a case from a colonel at the Pentagon who advised him that they should never know about the audio because they'd want it. And in fact, there was an insurance, a bank, and a major bank, an insurance company that tried to get him to sign over the rights to it because they wanted it. But that didn't happen. Someone had given him a couple of books dealing with the conspiracy theory of history, and he thought I'd be interested in it, which I was, because I was always, I wanted to know what was going on here. As a child growing up, I can remember, for as long as I can remember, looking around, I didn't know what was going on here, and going through public education, through public school and high school, I knew, my question was, how do I know that what I'm being told is true? How do I verify it? I had to give it back the way it was given to me in order to get a good grade, because your academic future and in many cases your earning capacity when you get out into the work world is determined by how well you do in school, and how well you do in school is often determined by how well you regurgitate back what you were given. But I felt something was wrong there, and even after I got out of college, I still had issues. So what's really going on here? And I didn't know where to go, but I thought, well, someday, something will happen, I'll learn. But this was an opportunity when my dad gave me the research material and then these books, that it was time for me to dig in and do my homework and educate myself. And so these just two books, I read them, went through the bibliography. One was a short book called The Occult Technology of Power. Another one, the conservative classic by Gary Allen, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. And so I went through the bibliography and started ordering, getting the books to the library, and then seeking out alternative sources of information all over the country and in other countries, gathering material to see what was out there, and make a determination for myself, see if I could get a different world view, try to ascertain what was really going on out here. So I spent a lot of, spent every nickel I had on it, some of the information was excellent, some of it wasn't, but I had to get it to see what was out there to make the determination what made sense and what didn't. And in all kinds of subjects, history, politics, economics, psychology, you name it, to get a general overview of what was going on. And then study that, and then that led to the audios, Mind Control in America, the first one that I completed, and which is a summary of the mind control issue, defining the principles involved, and we'll get into that in a moment so that your listeners have the benefit of that information, of how this works. Giving examples of the techniques for the listener to hear, because I use the techniques I talk about, so the listener has that as a frame of reference from which to recognize the techniques when they observe them being used, and then placing it into historical context. So it's not a lecture audio. It's a full production of music and sound effects and different sound sources and a lot of information, and it's meant to be listened to more than once and then shared. Because even if, for those people who have done their homework to try to understand what's going on out here, very often in trying to share that information with family and friends, there's resistance. And that resistance is as a result of something called cognitive dissonance. What happens is that the mind automatically and involuntarily rejects information that is not consistent with what we already believe. That's what it's called, cognitive dissonance. It means that it's difficult for some people and nearly impossible for others to consider information that does not fit into their preconditioned mindset. Even if the information is exactly what they need to consider to bring them the understanding that they need to put things together. Now, what happens is that the mind, the conscious mind, what the conscious mind believes, the subconscious acts on. It's like programming a computer. You feed information into the computer, and the computer acts on it. However, if the information you feed into the computer is wrong, it still acts on it. And there's a term for this, garbage in, garbage out. If a person believes something that is not true, the memory banks of the subconscious mind do not correct the error, but act on it. And so what it means is that we do not necessarily see things as they are, but rather as we are. And most people don't give much thought to why they believe some of the things that they do. Most things are accepted as true that may not be simply as the result of habit. And many of the things that people believe are never questioned, especially when the information has come from a trusted source. People can be led to believe something that is not true when that information is carefully timed, presented by an accepted authority, someone who's respected, and repeated over and over and over again until it becomes a conditioned response.
Right. You know, I heard about an experiment that illustrated just that, where there was a group of, I forget how many people, 10 or 20, and they were all given a sum to add up of numbers. It was a simple equation, but it was a trick. All of the people were plants except one person, and all the people in the group gave the wrong answer. And the person who was, you know, being experimented on, he gave the right answer, but when he found out that he was the only one, he changed his answer to what he knew was the wrong answer.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, so. That conformity for acceptance for acceptance. Get along. Like the former Speaker of the House, Sam Rayburn, said, to get along, you go along.
Right.
It's an interesting example you give. It reminds me of an old candid camera episode with what they did was had people get on an elevator, and they were all facing the back of the elevator.
So
that the one person who was not part of the trick or part of the stunt gets on the elevator, and everyone starts turning to the back. They close the doors and open them again, and that individual had adjusted his position to where he was also facing the back instead of the front of the elevator.
Amazing.
Yes, amazing. It is. About how we have that tendency to want to fit in and be accepted. Now, the two primary means by which people are manipulated and controlled, and the mind control issue really runs a full gamut. I see it as being the most important issue facing America, and yet it's not going to be something that will be discussed in the mass media. It's not going to be brought to your attention through major news media, newspapers or magazines. It's an umbrella issue. It covers a wide spectrum from the very basic control of information. If we don't have all access to all the information that we need, then our judgment is going to reflect that. Our judgment can only be as good as the quality of our information. There couldn't be effective propaganda without the mass media. And with the trend that has existed for a long time, of the consolidation of ownership of the media into fewer and fewer hands, that allows for the coordination of propaganda to make it effective. Now, that's a very basic means of controlling people, is controlling their information.
Right.
On the other extreme end of the mind control spectrum is some of the horrific experiments that have been conducted by government intelligence agencies, going back like CIA program, MK Ultra, the Monarch program, after World War II, when the our country CIA brought over Nazi scientists for the space program, brought over Werner von Braun to work on the space program here, and other scientists. In Nazi Germany, they're also working on mind control experiments. That was one of the things that Dr. Mengele was working on. And those scientists were brought to this country to pick up on their work. Horrific work, trauma-based mind control, use of torture. They're looking for ways of controlling people's behavior and creating behavior-modified agents, and which they did do as part of some of these government mind control programs. But I prefer to the issue, the part of the mind control issue that I have focused on is that which affects the general public, each and every one of us, and that is the more general, generalized aspect of what's happening in the media. And because the arts are the most effective delivery system for propaganda. The most successful propaganda uses the arts as a delivery system. There's nothing new about that.
You mean like music and pictures? And what do you mean?
Yeah.
By
yeah.
The,
right. The use of the arts, the mind control issue is nothing new. I mean, this is ancient. The principles of mind control are ancient. What's different about what's happening in so-called modern times is the technology that allows for the implementation of these ancient principles on a massive scale. That's what's different. Using music, theater, drama, writing, these are primary delivery systems for propaganda. Storytelling is the oldest means of transmitting information about how society works, what's right and wrong. And so there's not much difference between primitive man sitting fixated in front of the flickering light of a campfire, telling stories and transmitting information from one generation to the next about how things work. Not much difference from that in modern man sitting fixated in front of the flickering light of a television, receiving information about how society works and what's right and wrong from the stories.
Right. Except for the television. A lot of the information that's coming through there is not helping us, right?
Well, that's true. And it could have been used otherwise, but then it's the power of it as a hypnotic programming device was recognized immediately, because the principles of hypnosis have been known since the days of ancient Egypt and the priesthood using these principles. These all go back to religion. The arts, the music, theater, all come out of religious observances and the use of ritual and ceremony in transmitting religious truths from one generation to the next. Now, television is the ideal mechanism for this, and I use television as an excellent example in explaining both the principles of mind control and how hypnotic programming works. Television, by far, is the most powerful weapon of psychological warfare in history. Now, most people don't think of television as a weapon because it's become a member of the family in many households across the nation. For many people, it's the primary source of news, information, entertainment. After a hard day's work, many people come home tired, plop themselves down on the sofa, turn on the TV, reach for the remote control, turn on the TV, and the mind goes on hold.
Right. Well, people watch it for hours a day.
That's right. And that's where the problem is. Because think back to a time when you have observed young children or older adults watching television. Notice the expression on their faces. They have this far away, vacant look in their eyes. That is because, that's right, they are in a hypnotic trance. Now, you can catch yourself when you go into it. If you're watching TV, you lose sense of time and place. You go into that zone.
Right, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Go into a trance state. Right. Now, what's doing this is the hypnotic state of mind is a natural state of mind. We go in and out of it throughout the day. It's a twilight state. It's like that state of mind when we're just drifting off into sleep at night or just waking in the morning. There's no conscious mental activity going on. What's important about this state is that it's in this state of mind where we are the most receptive to mental programming and more highly suggestible than at any other time. Now, I mentioned earlier about the objective, primary objective for a propagandist or advertiser is to create the conditions that will produce a state of mind favorable for the reception of their message. That state of mind is the hypnotic state of mind. And television induces this altered state automatically, regardless of what's being shown, regardless of the content, because of the nature of the medium itself. Now, what's happening is that although it's not consciously perceived, the picture projected onto the TV screen, while it appears to be stationary, it is actually flickering. We don't see it consciously, but subconsciously the flickering image induces hypnosis. It's a physiological response. Television literally plugs into our nervous system. Now, sometimes you might recall at night when you're driving at dusk and looking into in a residential area, TV will be on in people's living rooms. You'll see a flicker.
Right.
Blue light kind of flicker. That's what's... And sometimes in movies, in the background, they'll have a TV in the background, especially some of the old black and white movies. There'd be a black bar, a roll bar going up and down, where it hadn't been compensated for, or not in alignment with the camera. So that's a visual representation of that flicker. But what's happening is that the repetitive pattern is inducing a trance state. Now, that's the principles of hypnotic programming is to distract the conscious mind by focusing the attention of the conscious mind on one or more of the five senses to induce this state. In the case of the media you're talking about, television, the sense of seeing, sight, and hearing. Any repetitive pattern is going to capture the attention of those senses, to get the senses to lock onto it. To give you an example of a technique that's used in TV commercials often, and that is, think back to when you have seen flashing words or numbers in a TV commercial. Like flashing numbers, say, buy now, the price flashing on and off the screen. That repetitive pattern is meant to capture the attention of your eye, get it focused on the repetitive pattern. The mind goes blank then. It clears the mind of all thought. Even musical patterns start at the beginning of your news broadcast, your evening news, national evening news, or even your local news, you'll have a musical jingle repeating over and over. And they'll also have moving graphics, a repetitive pattern, to induce, to deepen that trance state, so that people are just soaking up like a sponge all this information. What we're suffering from, many people suffering from, is information overload. They're not able to process everything that they are assaulted with.
But well, there were those cartoons in Japan where children were actually getting seizures from watching.
Excellent example of this plug-in effect. That was back in 1997. 700 children had to be hospitalized in response to watching the Pokemon cartoon.
Right, I remember that.
And that was strobing flashes of light pulsated from the eyes of one of the cartoon characters, and it caused epileptic-like seizures in some of the children who were watching the program. And other children had spasms and nausea, and all in all, about 700 children had to be hospitalized. What was interesting about that... not only is it a great example of this plug-in effect, electronic plug-in that the media has, TV in particular, the newspaper, USA Today, had a headline about it, and they said, what was the headline? They reported the event saying, U.S. kids safe from cartoon seizures. And then the story went on to say, parents need not worry. American children aren't likely to suffer seizures provoked by TV cartoons. Aren't likely? I don't think that's good enough.
No.
Of course it's not good enough. What, in effect, what they were saying, what they were really saying is, America, go back to sleep. Everything is all right. Don't think. We got your back covered. Sleep. Sleep.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
That's right. Right. Now, what's interesting about children and the response to television is that we never heard about attention deficit disorder, ADD, for
TV.
That's
a new type of thing.
Now, what's happening is that with the watching TV and the kids watching it, sitting in front of the TV in a trance state, motionless, when they're away from TV, the fidgety, get all this nervous energy, can't release it, looking for ways to... What's happened is that they're getting an electronic fix watching the TV. Not only because of being in a hypnotic trance, but what's happening with be the quick cutting that was developed in TV commercials and then music videos, cutting from one angle to another, one sharp angle to another, quick cutting. There's a corresponding electrochemical response in the brain to the editing patterns, these quick cuts, that cause a release of endorphins that induce a drug-like effect in the body. And so what a child is doing, in effect, when they can't focus, when away from TV, they're looking for this same kind of electronic fix.
It's terrible.
So, well, yes. It's more is happening than meets the eye. Entertainment is not just entertainment. Entertainment is propaganda. And a lot of people, especially young people, accept unquestioningly the reality that is presented to them by the media. Popular culture, movies, television, music, carries messages about how society works and how people should behave. And entertainment, the media, mass media, has become the fourth branch of government.
All right. Well, this brings me to my next question. But before I ask it, I just want to remind our listeners that you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and our guest tonight is Stephen Jacobson. We're talking about mind control in America. He has released two audio productions. One is called Mind Control in America, and the other is called Wake Up America. And you have a website, too. Is that all right if I give it out?
Oh, yes, of course. Of course, it's by all means, give it out.
Yeah, the website is www.mindcontrolinamerica.com. That's all one word, Mind Control in America. Easy to remember. And also remind everyone out there listening, this is a call-in show. So if you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. I'll give you the number right now, so grab your pen. It's toll-free. The number is 888-228-4494. I'll repeat that, 888-228-4494. And we're talking to Stephen Jacobson about mind control in America, and it is pervasive. Now, this is my question, Stephen. Who is doing this? Who is behind this, and why are they doing this?
Okay, that's a good question. Very important question. It is, well, let me preface my answer with something that 19th century British Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli wrote. He said, "The world is governed by very different people from those that are imagined by those people who are not behind the scenes." What that means is that, in effect, each nation has its ruling elite, a wealthy aristocracy that comprises its ruling class. Historically, government has been the servant of private wealth, where political and economic power is concentrated in the hands of this ruling elite, and they are, in effect, the hidden power behind government. That is why it doesn't really matter whether there's a Republican or Democratic administration. The country seems to be always going in the same direction. There's a continuity because of the control that this ruling class exerts. They control the banks, large corporations, major media, foundations. So, what has happened is that these ruling class families have formed an alliance globally for world domination. So, this is the real meaning behind globalism people have heard that word globalism in the news from time to time. In the recent past, that's the real meaning behind it. These people fight amongst themselves about who's going to be king of the hill, but their goal is the same, and that is to maintain their power and control, pass it on to their children. It's generational, And also that that you have a small number of people holding the reins of control and controlling the masses and using whatever means that they have available to them to do it. The most potent means is through deception and illusion. Most of us, the majority of us, were born into a system of lies and deception. And because we were born into it and have lived our lives in this system, for many people, it's normal. Because we don't know any different unless we come across information that kind of punctures holes into our worldview and we start asking questions or start digging for ourselves to try to understand what's going on out here. So to answer your question, we're talking about wealthy families who not only use the media, but they control over the economy and economic factors to apply pressure to us. Now, there are two audios that are available, the Mind Control in America, about the mind control aspect of it, and Wake Up America is about mind control also, but as it applies to money and economics, it's a production, a presentation about how the money system operates and how we came by this money system, and how money is used as a tool and a weapon to apply pressure to us. So psychological warfare and economic warfare work together to control the population so that people don't know whether they're coming or going. If people are all stressed out and living paycheck to paycheck trying to eke out a living, or if they're doing better than that, if their attention is focused on trying to be happy. I think most people want to be happy, looking for a means of being happy.
Right.
If they're looking for that happiness outside of themselves, looking for other people to make them happy, or looking for things to make them happy, as we are all encouraged to do, then our attention is directed away from what is actually happening and what these people are doing, and these people behind the scenes, what they're doing, and what their ultimate goal is. The ultimate goal is control, to keep us what they're doing with the media and also with public education, because you couldn't have effective propaganda without public education. There's an ulterior motive to much, if not most, of the information that is presented in public information, in public education. The ultimate control is to control people without their conscious awareness, and using these areas as a mechanism for that control. They're training us to be robots, so that we can't think effectively, so that we have to think within the box, so that we can't get outside the box and look at things objectively and observe and witness and see what is really happening here.
Right.
What's really happening here, as I see it, there's a missing dimension to world politics, and that's the spiritual dimension. This is all about religion.
So what can we do to combat, all this mind control that's coming at us from every side.
Educate ourselves. That's why these audios are the results of more than 10 years' work, Mind Control in America and Wake Up America. And I also offer my dad's audio called The Personal Comfort Training. The website, www.mindcontrolinamerica.com. And gives you information on these audios and on my dad's audio as well. The online ordering is out of order right now, unfortunately, and my webmaster is in the hospital. So you can't order online. People who want to use a credit card in order, you can send me an email with your, and I can call you and take that information over the phone if you want to order that way. Otherwise, you can mail in a check, money order, or credit card information using the order form, downloadable PDF order form on the website itself. And those are two ways of ordering it for right now. And I have to apologize for the online ordering not working right now. But that's out of my control. I do have a, my email is on the website, but I have a special email address for people who want to order, by phone using a credit card. And you can send me a note and your phone number and the best time to call you, what part of the country you're in, so I don't call you at 2 or 3 in the morning, to get the information. And that's mindcontrolinamerica@yahoo.com. MindControlInAmerica@yahoo.com, and if you want me to, we'll call you and get that information that way, if you want to order that way. And again, the ordering information is on the website for mail order, and my regular email is on the website, and all the information for about these audios and ordering is there. And back to the question. What do? We've got to educate ourselves. And that's the first step. Understand what the nature of the problem is, what the nature of the beast is, and that's only a first step.
Right. When we go shopping in grocery stores and in department stores, I understand the music has subliminals behind it saying,
oh, yeah,
buy, don't steal. So should we wear earplugs when we go shopping?
Well, you know, No, because it's all around us. We're constantly assaulted by subliminal messages. You remember there was a B-movie years ago called They Live, John Carpenter.
Oh, right.
Remember that, where the dark glasses would reveal an alien presence on the planet, and that they had, in effect, formed an alliance with the ruling class on the planet for control of the population, interestingly enough. And they used subliminal messages extensively. Back in 1998, I think it was, the official publication of the Library of Congress, Civilization Magazine, and they had a story in there admitting that the use of subliminal messages is rampant. It's a part of our national life. There's nothing we can do about that other than to educate ourselves about the fact that this is part of the environment, the artificial environment that we're living in. That's one part of the equation. The other part of the equation, in which I get into at the end of the Mind Control in America audio, and which will be the substance of the next presentation that I'm currently working on, is the spiritual component of it. That we are first and foremost fundamentally we're spiritual beings. And the problem is fundamentally a spiritual problem. It manifests itself in various ways in the material world, materially, but it's fundamentally a spiritual problem. And that's the missing dimension here. That the mind is the gateway to the soul. That's why there's a mind control issue. The solution to the problems that we face as a nation requires the raising of awareness that allows people to discern the difference between what is real and what is illusion. We're not going to change the world for the better until we change ourselves for the better. We can't expect to have a peaceful society when people are frantically competing with one another for temporary material happiness, even at the expense of others. We have to realize that modern civilization is missing the point of life. We can't make our life successful. We can make our life successful, rather, regardless of our material position, only if we know the purpose of life and how to achieve it. Now, if we're not going to solve our problems in this nation or the world with Band-Aid measures, trying to fix this and that and tweak this here and that there, the problems are fundamental. We're not recognizing what our true nature is and what the fundamental problem is. We're not the physical body. We have a physical body, a material body, But that's not who we are. We have to address that. And because what advertising focuses on, what the media focuses on, is that, and the bill of goods that we're sold, is that we find happiness outside of ourselves. We find happiness in a relationship. We find happiness with things.
Right, and those, all those commercials now, one after another, with these new pills and medicines that, with the whole list of side effects and just the money that's been poured into the whole drug industry is insane.
Oh, absolutely, that we can somehow deal with the stress, anxiety, and tension of our lives with a pill. Well, this is this kind of... they're trying to create, there's a term for it, Jose Delgado did an experiment, psycho-civilized society, where he one of the experiments he's known for, placing implants in a bull, where it could electronically stop a bull in its tracks, and some of the things these guys have done, so-called scientists, are really border on the insane. But no, we're missing the point of life. That we're distracted. That's the major distraction. And unless that's addressed, we're just going to see a continuation and variation of the same old theme. Everyone knows things aren't the way they're supposed to be, and both candidates, parties are promoting change, that we need to change. Well, that's what they all say, but the country continues to go in the same direction. I think these other things have to be addressed. It's part of the equation.
Can't we take the whole methods of mind control and turn it around and use it for good?
Well, absolutely we can. Sure we can.
And like sleep learning and
all that. See, the solution, we've been made to feel as if we're powerless. Most people feel, well, you know, even if they do know some of the things that are going on, what can I do? You know, get a start of living, I don't have time. What can I do? We're made to feel powerless because there are more of us than there are of them. Them being small elitist group that working behind the scenes to control us and trying to consolidate their position of control over us. The solution lies inside us, to go within and work on changing from within. And making inquiry about reassessing life and what's really important. And the major question for anyone to answer, before I get to the main, let me just say this. What do you know? If you know everything there is to know, but you don't know the one who knows, then what do you really know? Say that again. If you know all there is to know about anything and everything, but you don't know the one who knows, then what do you really know?
Not a lot.
And that's a lead into the major question. And the question is, who am I? What is the world? Why am I here? What's happening here? But it all comes from the major question, who am I?
Right. Well,
and that requires pardon?
That's the kind of question that spiritual masters say you should always ask yourself to attain the state of enlightenment.
Well,
you're supposed to constantly ask yourself, who am I, where am I, what am I doing? And this will supposedly raise your awareness into the other dimensions.
That's why we're here. We're here to ask. The riddles of life are there for us to solve. They're not there to be imponderable and unsolvable for us. That's why we're here, to make a solution to what's really important. and to make that discovery of who and what we really are and what our relationship is to one another. And if you get a whole society working on that, inquiring about that, talking about that, then you're going to have a society and a civilization that can change very quickly.
Right.
And in the right way. In a way that people recognize their connection with one another and have compassion for one another. And don't have the kind of the dog-eat-dog, mean-spirited world that we're all living in, because we're all fighting to try to be happy and forgetting where real happiness lies.
Well, you've convinced me.
It can only
me
be found within, and that's the message of all religion. And all religions say that God is everything. And if God is everything, where does that leave us? We're not asking ourselves the right questions, and so we're not getting the right answers.
Wow. Well, Stephen, this is amazing. I mean, I totally agree with you. This is probably one of the most important subjects facing humanity today and crucial to our survival. But we just have a few minutes left in the show. I wanted to give you the opportunity to, kind of close it up, and if you have any last messages that you want to tell our listeners. Because we've got about 1 minute left.
Sure. I mean, of course there's hope. We're on a journey to that self-discovery. That's what's happening. We're going through growing pains. Everyone's going to go home. Some will consciously cooperate with the program, and others will go home kicking and screaming. But what's happening here, is for everybody's benefit. Everybody's, no one excluded. Even the so-called bad guys who are doing horrible things, God lives in them too. But they're also going to have to pay for what they're doing. We are all subject to being responsible for the things that we do and pain and suffering that we cause. And again, the message is one of hope. I mean, it's not meant to be a downer. Because it's not. Again, the website, for anyone who is interested in the information and the audios I've talked about, is www.mindcontrolinamerica.com, www.mindcontrolinamerica.com. The three audios, Mind Control in America, Wake Up America, and Personal Comfort Training, the audio that my father developed. And again, the online ordering is down. Unfortunately, you can order via the mail or send me a note at mindcontrolinamerica@yahoo.com, an email, mindcontrolinamerica@yahoo.com, with your phone number, name and phone number, and best time to call you if you want to order using your credit card over the phone, and I'll give you a call when I can, and you can do it that way. Otherwise, mail order. And I thank you, Preston. I've enjoyed talking with you, and I hope that you, your listeners find something, a kernel here that has been, in the course of our conversation, that has been helpful to them.
Well, I certainly hope so, too, and thank you for agreeing on to come on the show, and thank you even more for doing the work you're doing, because it's very important. And
we're all in this thing together. And the other thing is that we all get out of here alive. In reality, nobody gets out of here dead. We all get out of here alive.
That's a good phrase. I like it.
Thanks to be the truth, so.
Thanks, Stephen. That's pretty much our show. I want to thank you for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure, Preston. God bless.
Thank you, you too. Well, everyone, that is our show for tonight. You've been listening to UFOs and the Paranormal on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Preston Dennett. Our guest tonight has been Stephen Jacobson, and we've been talking about mind control in America. If you want some more information, you've got to visit his website. It's pretty cool. It's www.mindcontrolinamerica.com.
mindcontrolinamerica.com, all one word. It's got some very nice information there and some audios that you can buy if you want to deprogram yourself. There's a deprogramming center. So take advantage of it. It's very important. And remember, don't give in to this subliminal manipulation, and take control of your own power. I want to thank you all for listening again, and hope you've enjoyed the show as much as I have, and hope you can join me next week when I bring on another exciting guest. Until then, have a wonderful evening and a great week. Bye now.